Welcome to Simple Wins, the show where we talk to the architects behind the most successful B2B firms, and we're currently in the middle of a massive project curating the 2026 B2B benchmark. We're looking for the high-level strategies that actually work in today's market, and I knew I had to get Jason Fishman out here today. What he's about to tell you is crazy, because Jason Fishman is a digital marketing and growth strategist with over 15 years of experience helping founders and businesses build audiences, credibility, and momentum online. He is the CEO of Digital Niche Agency and host of Test Optimize Scale podcast, where he shares practical lessons on marketing, growing, and scaling your business. Jason, a big welcome to the show. So excited to have you here.
Thanks, Adam. Pleasure to be here. Been looking forward to this.
Absolutely. So Jason, you famously went from 75 iterations of a pitch deck for you to be able to go ahead and secure the funding that you need. Looking back with your current DNA lens, what was the single biggest lie you were telling yourself in version one that was finally corrected by version 75?
Sure. And you're referring to a social gaming startup I was part of here in Los Angeles, branded entertainment, where we were going after actors, actresses, sports teams, all different types of licensee holders, and looking to monetize their digital audience with the use of social games. Because of the nature of who we were looking to bring in as strategic partners and all the different types of investors we were pitching, had to create over 75 versions of the pitch deck there. And I would tell you, it didn't showcase enough social proof and third-party validation based on my learnings here today. And each version covered a little more of, who's talking about us, who's already invested, which brands are we already a part of. That speaks loudly to a prospective investor, especially a cold prospect at that. So as a digital marketer, I could tell you basically never have enough of that. That's what resonated the most with who we were pitching. And I would love to go back and have some of those pieces added if I had a time machine.
That's awesome. No, that's super cool. And when you talk about social proof, how are you showcasing that social proof? I mean, is it all inside of a pitch deck? Are you having like a wall of love? What have you seen works best?
Sure. So people don't believe what they see online. They don't believe what they see in an investor presentation or a B2B pitch for that matter. The more times we hear the same piece of information from the more trusted sources, the more we believe it. That's quoted from the book Sapiens. And it's true. It's social dynamics. So if I'm able to show this deal has been signed off on by these types of individuals, these types of funds, these types of companies, if I'm able to show, hey, here's a list of conferences that we spoke at over the past month, past year, recent volume of them. Here's a list of podcasts. Here's where we've been featured, even if it's from press releases, but being able to show where you can be found from publisher mentions, different types of partners that, again, establish trust, confidence in what you do. Hey, these guys are legitimate. This is real deal. Everyone's talking about this, is what you want the response from that audience to be. So you want to look at more ways to communicate that. And over time, because it's not the first touch point that someone converts. It's not just in that pitch deck. It's not just in the offering page where we're running one of these investor marketing campaigns. It's in the follow-ups. It's in what they find when they're searching around and doing their own due diligence. And testimonials. Video testimonials of that face image, people can relate to who's saying it. I can't say enough about it. Powerful stuff.
Absolutely. So what you're actually saying, and this is kind of cool, I think I'm getting it. What you're saying, it's the acceleration of what you're doing matters more than just putting up a brand name. It's more about actually showing the volume of activity that you're doing more than anything else. Is that correct?
Adam, you're pro. The way you were able to paraphrase that, the acceleration is definitely what I'd point to. A lot of these investor marketing campaigns that we work on use filings that allow you to solicit investors. Reg D for accredited investors, Regulation Crowdfunding, Reg CF, and Regulation A+ for both retail and accredited investors, so virtually anybody could invest. And I would tell you, these deals, the top 10% of them get all of the investments. The bottom 50%, regardless of the filing, pretty stagnant. They're not really moving. It is that crowd effect that you're playing off of. It's the line around the block versus the empty restaurant sensation. With that line around the block, you may not even know what they serve. Let's say it's a restaurant at that establishment, but you just tell yourself, oh, I want to go there. I want to check that out. Maybe not tonight, but I want to do that. So you're looking for ways to convey there's a line around the block for this.
So now I'm really interested about this because I totally understand what you're saying. I think this is very fascinating. But if a client comes to you, for example, and let's say if they haven't gone done conferences, they haven't done press releases, they haven't done all that type of stuff. When they sign up with you, are you basically like, all right, hit the road, Jeff, like it's time to get out there. Like, how are you actually helping them get that volume that they need?
It is a pay to play world. You can buy speaking spots at conferences. You can buy press appearances. You can buy podcast appearances. You can buy all of it. It can be manufactured. Do you want to do that? Is it more authentic if it's earned? Absolutely. You can do outreach to conferences. You could do outreach to publishers, to podcasters, anything you want to ultimately be able to point to. I would tell you it's a numbers game. You may not hear back from most of them. You may get a no from many. You may get on calls that lead nowhere with others. It may be discouraging at different points. But if a client came to us tomorrow and said they had nothing, including an audience, and that's one of the first questions I ask is how large is your existing audience, both of investors and just in general across all your email and social channels? Those are the first stages. We want to build a marketing strategy. I get into detail about what a good marketing strategy consists of and the types of competitor audits you want to do and understanding your audience, your channels, the creative, the messaging you want to run to them, partners that could help accelerate that. But then you're going to want to run press releases. You're going to want to look to earn media, if not purchase media. You're going to want to be involved at conferences and even just, you know, record a selfie video while you're there. So it shows that you're in the fields, you are relevant, you're part of this ecosystem. It does not necessarily need to be a keynote to an audience of, you know, 15,000 people, as much as being showing that you're active. And you said acceleration, that's continual. So think headline worthy announcement on a weekly basis and starting from your own distribution channels. And then looking to get more people to talk about essentially what you're publishing on your platforms.
That is definitely an acceleration if you're talking about every single week a new announcement. So what you're basically doing is a two-prong approach then. You're starting off by helping them go ahead and then hit those one weekly press releases or headlines that they need. And then at the same time, you're helping them go ahead and secure that financing, correct?
Exactly. And then finding all the different ways to talk about it from there.
And what are some of the ways?
Tomorrow, I want to find 10 different ways to talk about it versus just hope the conference gets it out to the right people.
Yeah, because I mean, the reality is they're probably not going to get it out to the right people. So what are some of the ways that you actually do get it out to the right people?
Sure. Well, I like to break it down into areas of content marketing, advertising, and outreach. Content marketing, talking about social media, email, long form content, webinars, articles, videos, different community channels at that, press. When I talk about content marketing, it's, you know, the creation of good engaging content that's designed for social sharing. It's physically made to be shared, and high authority links, getting high authority publishers to talk about it. So it's a good thing to point at if you're on a great podcast, if you're at an important event, even if it's a small event, you know, whatever you're doing in the field, you want to find the right angle and messaging around it and distribute across your content channels. You then have advertisements. Advertisements, you know, we get approached by vendors who will do fake podcast clips of somebody talking about how amazing this company is. And have you heard of this? And this is great stuff because of how engaging that type of content is. I obviously recommend getting those clips, getting people to talk about you on real podcasts, but you get the idea. You can pull excerpts from these appearances and have it put into video ads, into social ads, into a variety of different ad placements. And then you have outreach and just the mere mention of that. So if I'm reaching out to a potential strategic partner, or my sales team is reaching out to a potential client, if they just go through the standard messaging and, you know, are doing follow-ups that are very bland, you know, hey, how about now? I'm not going to get too far. If we're sharing content and saying, hey, we just did this keynote last week. Check out this podcast that was released today. We're doing a webinar next week. We're doing a live event. It shows something different. The mere mention of it in your outreach messaging and follow-ups can make all of this show a substantial return, both in terms of the cost of your efforts and or any media placements.
You know what you remind me of? You remind me of the 10x rule, where it's just whatever you think you're doing, just do it 10 times more.
Do more. Absolutely. I love that. I
That's
love that.
awesome. No, it's super
10x,
cool.
is
No,
that
that's
Grant
awesome.
Cardone?
Yeah, it was the
Yeah.
Grant Cardone book. Yeah, correct.
I've
Yeah,
heard
no,
different
it's super
people.
fascinating.
I've heard different people say it different ways, and I agree with that. And if I'm speaking to a group that says, yeah, we're already doing this stuff, we're already doing ads, we're already doing outreach. Okay, how's it producing for you? How come you haven't scaled it more? How come you haven't been able to show it in the growth of your brand, the growth of your valuation?
Yeah.
Sounds like you need to do more on each of these channels. You need to refine, you need to optimize, you need to get it to better performance metrics so you could ramp it up to much more substantial levels. Exit. I love it.
So I'm kind of interested about this now. So you're basically going out and doing the crowdfunding, right? You're helping people secure crowdfunding. And one thing that's you just said there was the valuation. Does this massive acceleration, right, of activity on a regular basis increase the valuation, even if the bottom line doesn't change?
That's a tough question. I am a marketer. There are different people who work on the valuation directly. They're looking at the assets of the company. They're looking at the revenue. They're looking at comparables. They're looking at whatever else is in the marketplace that the same investors may get pitched with. And they're coming up with different ways to present the valuation. I'm part of that conversation at times, but it's not something we have productized to offer. The valuation typically stays the same throughout one of these rounds. You could update the filing for some of them and amend and change things up there. There are different rules and restrictions and things you need to do with the past investors that you'd want to speak to someone on the legal side about. Compliance again is not what we offer, but at the same time, the clients I work with typically are increasing their valuation from one round to the next. In some cases, it's basic math from their assets. In other cases, they are able to show more relevancy in the space accordingly, more partnerships, more that's going on that increases the perceived value from the end prospect. And, sales 101, the price is basically set between the buyer and the seller and around that perceived value. So could it play a role? Absolutely. Would I tell you, hey, do a few press releases and give yourself a higher valuation? No, it's not that simple, but does it play a role? Yes.
So do you recommend somebody comes to you before they do the filing, or do they usually come to you after they do a filing?
Because of the nature of the capital raising, it's often once they've already filed and/or are already live, whether it's on a marketplace, on a portal, or whether they're using a broker-dealer and a tech stack to have it listed on their own site, even having the investments taking place on their own site. For Regulation D, the accredited investor raises, it's almost like a lead gen activity where there's a conversation offline. In many cases, some the investment takes place there. Reg D issuers don't really like the word crowdfunding either. It is ideal if an issuer, a company that's going to be issuing shares or the investment opportunity, some of these deals are debt, convertible notes, revenue share, safes. So it is definitely recommended to begin your marketing strategy as soon as possible and then look into compliant ways to run your pre-launch. There's a test the waters terminology that you could use to get reservations. There's different audience building that you can do, and different marketing you can do as a brand. It's not to prime investors as much as just to, grow the brand. So if there's delays in the filing process, you're able to make use of the time.
Absolutely, 100%. And you use the word partnerships a few times. How do you reference it? Like, what is a partner to you, and how does that actually play a role?
Sure. It could mean many things, right? So if you're putting together your investor pitch, whether it's going to live in a deck or on an offering page using one of these filings, you want to be able to showcase partners that could be other companies you work with. Why? It shows that they find value in what you're doing. They want to be associated with you. They may have some, formal agreements. They may be built off your technology, your product, your brand. You want to be able to show how important you are by referencing different partners there. Speaking to press, you could look at, press partnerships. There are these financial email newsletters that some of them investors pay to receive. Others, typically issuers, paying to be placed. Those can be looked at as press partners. Marketing, I'm typically looking at a partner and asking, do they have a large engaged audience of my prospects? And do we have a partnership or can I build one so that they're promoting us and what we do to their loyal, responsive follower, subscriber base?
And how important does those partnerships play a role when it actually goes to securing funding? How have you seen that play an impact versus having partners back you up? Like say, oh, we trust this company versus not having partners. Have you seen a difference there?
Yeah. I would tell you it definitely speeds things up. And even to put it lightly, you know, I try to be careful. You know, it's not a one size fits all. If you have partners, if you don't have partners, if they're developed over time, if you're coming, you know, right out of the gate with them. At the end of the day, I'm looking at digital metrics. You need enough traffic at a high enough conversion rate to hit your goal. The transactional value has to be at a high enough average so the traffic does, you could use less traffic to get there. And partners can be a great way to get more traffic there. They can be a great way to see an increase in the conversion rate from the visitors who do get there and establishing more trust, more confidence. So they can play an important role. I've seen campaigns with, you know, somewhat few partners succeed, but many of the top issuers are able to point to Fortune 500 who have invested in them, who are clients, who are their manufacturer, who are, you know, their buyer, you know, whatever it may look like. Putting logos on your offering page, on your pitch deck, going back to it, on your advertisements can really change the listening of whomever you're speaking to. So both using them to generate that traffic as well as close more of it, they can be instrumental to the success of a campaign, at least in terms of getting there quicker.
Jason, where can people go to learn more about you?
Go to digitalnicheagency.com. You could go to youtube.com/@digitalnicheagency and see our playlist for our webinars. I have over 60 on there. My podcast, Test Optimize Scale, over 230 episodes there. Don't be bashful. Feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn as well.
That's awesome. Jason, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you coming on.
Brad, it's been a pleasure, Adam. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Everyone, have a great rest of your day, and I will see you on the next episode.